Text for our message this All Saints Day, that first reading from Revelation 7, especially these words. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." So far, text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It's All Saints Day, an appropriate reading as heaven is torn open and John gets a glimpse. John was there in exile on the island of Patmos, and he's worshiping for one moment. In the next moment, it seems like he's in heaven. How can John make sense of what he's seeing? These cosmic scenes. The vision of Revelation seems to pause here for a moment in chapter 7 on a wonderful note. As John sees heaven, there's angels and tribes and numbers and saints and elders and seals. What in the world is John seeing? Can you imagine being John? And all of this is just before you. Someone comes up and asks John, "What does all of this stuff that you're seeing mean?" And John, in effect, says, "I have no idea." He's got no clue what all of this means. These angels flying around with seals, this numbering, this 12s and 144s, and this great multitude with white robes and palm branches. What does it all mean? John hasn't a clue. Do you know what it all means? I hope so, because in this text, we in the church militant find great comfort. We're here in this text, along with the saints, triumphant. This text begins with the angels flying around, sealing the saints of their God. What mystical thing could this sealing be? It's right here. It's baptism. You've been sealed with the death that Jesus died for you. His death covers all your sins. You stand before him waving the palm branch of victory, victory over sin, devil, and death, and clothed in a white robe of Christ's righteousness. John sees the saints baptized, washed clean in Jesus Christ, forgiven of their sins. And then we have the numbering of the tribes. For you Old Testament scholars, I know you're out there. You recognize there's some issues with these tribes, because two of them shouldn't be there. The tribe of Levi was never counted. They're the priestly tribe. They get no land, and they really don't count. But they're counted here. And Joseph, one of the sons of Israel, yes, but there is no tribe of Joseph. Joseph always got that double portion for his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So what's with this numbering of the tribes? Why is it messed up? It's a reminder that only those who worship the true God are there. The two tribes that are missing, Dan and Manasseh. In those tribes, golden calves were worshipped all the way through the time of the kings, from Jeroboam the first on. They're out. They don't worship rightly. They worship false gods. This numbering is a reminder that only the faithful, only the saints, will be there. But it's not a literal numbering. It's not like 12,000 people exactly from each of these tribes are going to get into heaven, and only 144,000 total. If it was, we'd be in trouble, because I don't think you're from any of these tribes, and I'm not. In verse 9 there, John says, he sees a great multitude from every nation and tribe and people and language. Those Israelites all spoke the same language. They were all from the same nation, for the most part. And they were all from similar tribes. John sees far more than that in heaven. He sees this multitude speaking various languages, yet speaking the same. Praise to the Lamb who sits on the throne. You know exactly who these are. You don't have to wonder like John, having no idea. These are the saints who have gone before you. Those in heaven, even now, there they are. They're not at the cemetery. They're not there. They're with Jesus. For heaven is where Jesus is. Heaven is the presence of God incarnate. And that's where the saints are. They dwell with Christ right there at the throne. So close they can talk to him. They can hear him. They can probably reach out and touch him. That's how close it is. And they're singing praise. Back and forth, the saints and the angels. Doesn't that sound familiar? Isn't that what you've been doing this morning? Singing praise? As we sang for all the saints, wasn't that a hymn of praise, a doxology to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? The Son has redeemed us with his blood. The Father loves us enough to give us his Son. And the Spirit loves us to bring us Jesus. With every hymn, with every reading, with every part of the liturgy, isn't that what we do? Sing praise back to God, along with all of the angel host? You see, this isn't just the church triumphant. This is the church militant. This is us. Are you not with Jesus as well? Are you not right here, close enough to touch Jesus? What is baptism? But Jesus coming to you personally and touching you with forgiveness. What is the word but Jesus speaking to you close enough that you can hear him? What is the supper but Jesus coming to you right into your own self? This isn't just the church triumphant. This is all the saints. This is you as well. This text isn't just about those in heaven who have physically died, but it's all those who are in heaven. For heaven is where Jesus is. If you are with Jesus, you are in heaven. Even here on earth, you are in Jesus, baptized and washed clean through his death. You're with him. You're a saint before him. John sees you as well, clothed in your baptismal grace, sealed in the death that Jesus died, waving that palm branch of victory. For even in this tribulation, the devil cannot accuse you of your sins. No, he can do his worst. He can rage and foam, but he's impotent because you are redeemed by Jesus. The sins that cling so closely to you, they cannot drag you down to hell because you are saved by the blood of Jesus. The world, which taunts and ridicules, even the world can't touch your salvation. You are safe and secure in Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, you are a saint. Not in the glories of paradise yet, but dwelling with your Savior Jesus on this side of the grave. There isn't much difference, is there, from this side of the grave to that side? It's just that we struggle with sin. We face death. Those on the other side have no sin. They're with Christ there in paradise. They and us both await that last day when Christ will come back and change us to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue all things to himself. On this All Saints Day, of course, we remember those who have gone before us, passing on to that side. We look at their faithful example of faith in Jesus, how they were loved by their Savior, and how they lived faithfully. But you can look around right here at the saints as well. Those still living in these bodies, you are a saint, redeemed and washed clean through Jesus, sealed by his death and forgiven. We rejoice then with all those who have gone before us and all here, with all the angelic host, praising the Lamb who sits upon the throne, who has given his life for us. In his name, amen.